Rise and shine, everyone. How's it going out there? This is Amy, and it is time for Amy's Kids Show. And let me see here, folks. I think we are up to episode 164 today, and we are going to continue celebrating George Washington, who we were celebrating last time I was here. Of course, that was before the snowstorm last weekend kept me at home. So I hope folks don't mind, but I did have to take last week off. But I'm back, and so is George, our friend George, who was the first president of the United States of America. Of course, I just met somebody yesterday who told me that that is not necessarily so, that we did have a series of other presidents who came first, but George was the first official one after the Constitution was signed. And the signing of that Constitution actually had a lot to do with our friend George and all of his hard work. He worked so hard for our country. He wouldn't even take a paycheck, right? He led the army. He slept in the tents with his troops in the cold. He planned all sorts of nifty ways of beating the British, which was a huge and amazing accomplishment for a small band of not even real soldiers, right? Just farmers and fishermen and shoemakers and bankers and all these people who just, you know, did other things during the day. And then they joined a military, and George was able to whip them into shape and get them to cooperate. I mean, that was the biggest part of his job, was getting everyone to cooperate. And we're going to celebrate George today especially because, well, you already know how much he loved to dance, right? That was the subject of last week's show, was how much George Washington loved to dance. He loved to dance. He loved to bring people together in unity and freedom. He loved to lead people and do all sorts of things. But guess what? The only thing that would get in the way of George dancing was another problem that he had. He had bad teeth. He did, right? Maybe you've heard that. George Washington had false teeth, right? Well, that's because his real teeth rotted out. And that was incredibly painful for the poor guy. But despite all of that, the only thing it seems like that step stopped him from doing was dancing. And we know how much he loved to dance, so he must have been suffering. But suffering or not, he made no excuses. He got out there and helped us all build an amazing country. Thank you, George. Let's get started.
The president is in charge of the nation. Let's all have a celebration. Let's remember Washington and Lincoln. Without them, our country would be sinking. George Washington, the first president, the father of his country, they named him. His face is on a quarter and a $1 bill. In the Revolutionary War, he was a general. People salute George Washington. Our capital city is named after him. He had white hair and a white frilly collar. Some say he chopped down the cherry tree of his father. The president is in charge of a nation. Let's all have a celebration. Let's remember Washington and Lincoln. Without them, our country would be sinking. Abraham Lincoln was his name, but some people call him Honest Abe. His face is on a penny and a $5 bill. He was the 16th president. What a thrill! He fought against slavery in our nation with the Emancipation Proclamation. He had a big beard and a big top hat. He lived in a log cabin. How about that? The president is in charge of a nation. Let's all have a celebration. Let's remember Washington and Lincoln. Without them, our country would be sinking.
George Washington was a military general and led the American colonists to victory in the American Revolution. He was a founding father of the United States, meaning he was one of the people who started the United States of America. And he served as the first president of the United States, the very first president of the United States. Let's look at his life to see how George Washington helped start the United States of America. It starts in 1732. Oh, that was a long time ago. George Washington was born in the colony of Virginia in 1732. Now, when George Washington was born, the colony of Virginia was part of Great Britain. In fact, all of the American colonies were part of Great Britain. This is what the British flag looked like during George Washington's lifetime. It looked pretty similar to what it looks like today. The colony of Virginia, the place where George Washington grew up, belonged to Great Britain. Now, a lot of people have wondered what George Washington was like as a kid, right? But George Washington didn't share many details about his childhood. There is a popular legend about George Washington when he was 6 years old. It's an interesting one. The legend says that George Washington received an axe for his birthday and used it on one of his dad's cherry trees. That's a weird gift to get for your sixth birthday. When his dad found out that his cherry tree was damaged by young George, George was brave and told his dad the truth, saying, "I cannot tell a lie." This legend is one of the most famous legends in American history. The legend was written by this guy, a man named Parson Weems. That's an interesting name. He was the first person to write a biography on George Washington after he died. Most historians believe this story was made up by Parson Weems. Even though it was made up, it is a legend that many people think of when they think of George Washington. One thing we know for sure about George's childhood is that his dad died when George was just 11 years old. After his dad died, George spent some time living with his half-brother named Lawrence at a place called Mount Vernon, the plantation owned by Lawrence. Living with his half-brother Lawrence, George was able to learn how to survey land. To survey land is to figure out the distance between different parts of a piece of land, usually to figure out how big a piece of land is. Someone who surveys land is called a land surveyor. In order to be a land surveyor, you have to know a lot of math. George Washington had to use his math skills to survey land. As he got older, people paid him to survey their land, and he had to use math skills every time he did it. This is pretty cool. Here is a picture of a land survey done by George Washington himself. Oh my goodness, he had fancy handwriting. This is so sad. He may have continued working as a surveyor if it weren't for another tragedy in his life. 9 years after his dad died, George's half-brother Lawrence got sick and died too. George was 20 years old when Lawrence died. 2 years later, when George was just 22 years old, he became the full owner of Mount Vernon. Now, we didn't mention this earlier, but Lawrence had been a military general for the British in the Virginia militia. Remember, the colony of Virginia, like the other American colonies, belonged to Great Britain. George decided to follow in his footsteps and became a major in the Virginia militia. This was a big deal, especially for someone as young as George was. And it didn't take long for George Washington to be put to the test. The governor of Virginia sent George Washington on a special mission to tell the French to leave an area called the Ohio Valley. They didn't like that, and they made it clear they would not leave the Ohio Valley. And 1 year later, George Washington led hundreds of soldiers in an event that would start the French and Indian War. The French and Indian War made George Washington famous. He wrote about his experiences and became well known, not just in the colonies, but also across the Atlantic Ocean in Great Britain. The French and Indian War not only made George Washington famous, but it also gave him military experience that he would later need during the American Revolution. After the war, George was not offered a placement in the regular British Army, which must have been so frustrating after all he did, and he returned to his plantation, remember, called Mount Vernon. He got married to a lady named Martha and started a family at Mount Vernon. So he settled down, and that might have been the end of his story, but he also got involved in politics, which would put him at the right place at the right time. After years of being a politician in Virginia, in 1774, George Washington was chosen to be a delegate of Virginia in the First Continental Congress. A delegate is someone who is sent to represent other people. Virginia trusted George Washington to represent their interests. It was really cool. George Washington was frustrated with how the colonies were being treated by Great Britain, just like so many other colonists. Many of their rights were taken away by laws called the Intolerable Acts. Colonists called them the Intolerable Acts because they weren't able to take it. They were intolerable. Well, in 1775, the American Revolutionary War began, and the Second Continental Congress decided to set up their own army, called the Continental Army. They selected George Washington as the commander of the Continental Army. It made sense. He not only had a lot of experience as a general in the French and Indian War, but he also wanted the American colonies to be independent and free from Great Britain. George Washington accepted the position, but he refused to get paid to serve as commander of the Continental Army. That's right, he wanted to volunteer and serve without any cost to the American colonies. What a nice guy. So he got to work. George Washington trained and prepared the Continental Army for battle. He wanted to make sure they were ready and helped them become a better, stronger army. And here was his job, if you will. George Washington helped come up with battle plans, led the Continental Army in many battles, and helped the Continental Army run like a well-organized unit. And he was a great commander. Part of what made him a great commander was he was not afraid to take risks. For example, in one of the most famous moments in the Revolutionary War, George Washington led troops across the Delaware River to do a surprise attack on December 25th in 1776. That was Christmas night! Oh my goodness! Even though the water was icy and dangerous, George Washington knew it would be a great surprise attack. Everyone was like, George, too much ice, man! But they pressed on, and it was a big victory for the Continental Army. George Washington eventually led the Continental Army to victory. With help from the French, the Americans defeated the British. After winning the Revolutionary War, the American colonies began setting up their brand new government. And really to no one's surprise, George Washington was picked to lead the Constitutional Convention that established order in the new government. And of course, because he was presiding over everything, George Washington signed the Constitution. Then, when it came time to elect officials, the American people decided there was no better man to serve as the very first president of the United States than George Washington himself. He was elected president in the first national election. In 1789, after he was sworn in as president of the United States, he went to live in Philadelphia. Philadelphia was the temporary capital of the United States. This is a picture of the house he lived in while he was president. Now, of course, this was before the White House was built. This is the house in Philadelphia that George Washington lived in. As we mentioned earlier, he was living in Philadelphia, which was the temporary capital of the United States, which is interesting. And as you might imagine, as neat as being the first president sounds, it was really difficult and challenging. There were many issues that needed fixing, you know, being a brand new nation and all. But George Washington worked hard to give the United States a strong start. In the second national election, George Washington was elected president for the second time. He refused to run a third time and started the tradition by most presidents of serving no more than two terms. Not only did George Washington help the American colonies win their independence and become a new nation, but George Washington also served as the first president of the United States. That is why George Washington is often called the father of his country. Sadly, George Washington wasn't able to see much of what America would become. He became sick and died in 1799 at Mount Vernon. George Washington made a huge impact, and he is celebrated and honored all around us. The capital of the United States, Washington, D.C., was named after George Washington. The Washington Monument in Washington, D.C. was built to honor the memory of George Washington, the father of the United States. We see George Washington honored on our money, like the dollar bill. Dollar bills are super cool, and George Washington is on all of them. He is also on the quarter. George Washington is on the front of every single quarter, even the state quarters. And of course, George Washington is on Mount Rushmore. It's the amazing sculpture that was carved right into the granite of a mountain in South Dakota. Wow, he is featured on many other sculptures, but this is the biggest and most famous. What a life George Washington lived. Here are just a couple of his accomplishments. He was a general in the French and Indian War. He was the commander of the Continental Army, and he was the first president of the United States.
Rebels? Lay down your arms, rebels, or you're all dead men.
Ready! Hey!
This country. I will lead this army.
Well, folks, thank you for tuning in today for Amy's Kids Show. We are celebrating George Washington. We're celebrating, well, first of all, of course, all of the amazing things that he did. And he was so brave and strong and a good dancer, too. Wow, he was so multi-talented, and thank goodness, right, that he had all of those talents right when we needed them. But he was not perfect, right? I mean, nobody is perfect. We're humans, and we have challenges, and we are not perfect. And one of his major challenges was that he had bad teeth, right? He had bad teeth. His teeth were rotting out of his mouth through all of those adventures that you just heard about, all of those amazing feats, those battles and those arguments with the delegates and and running his farm. He had a big farm, a plantation that he ran. All of those things he did while suffering. It's a lot of suffering. If anybody out there, have you ever had a toothache? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know how much a toothache can hurt? Wow, a tooth, you know, it's right there in your head. Kids have about 20 teeth until they start losing their baby teeth. And then when their teeth come back in, they're going to have 32 teeth in their mouth. And boy, if any one of them gets an infection, it can hurt so much. It's right there in your head. And it's a really, really bad kind of pain if anybody out there has ever had it. Now, luckily nowadays, dentists can help us in a lot of ways to help us, first of all, not have rotten teeth in the beginning, right? To take care of them better so that they don't rot the way George's did. But then also, if we run into any problems with our teeth, we can usually take care of them in a much more pain-free way. And even people can get fake teeth. Do you know anybody out there who has artificial teeth? They have fake teeth that they put in their mouth, but they work pretty well. With their fake teeth, they can still eat, talk, sing, laugh, smile, dance. Well, poor George. That kind of dentist work was still brand new back then when he was alive. So they kind of learned a lot, I think, dentists, from helping George, because he insisted on a lot of help. And no doubt he was in a lot of pain. But he did not use that as an excuse. That's what I find so amazing. He could have said, oh, I have a toothache today. I better stay home from the Continental Congress. I better stay home from that battle. I better not go out today. But he didn't say that, even after not sleeping at night because of his bad toothache. So we're going to read a book today about this. It's called George Washington's Teeth by Deborah Chandra and Madeline Camora. From battling toothaches while fighting the British to having rotten teeth removed by his dentists, the father of his country suffered all his life with tooth problems. Yet contrary to popular belief, George Washington never had a set of wooden teeth. See, that's a myth out there. He never actually wore wooden teeth. Starting at the age of 24, he lost, on average, a tooth every year. And by the time he was elected president, he had only 2 teeth left. All right, so we're going to read this story that is actually based on historical records. That's why we know that maybe some of the things in this book are actually true, because they come from letters from George and letters from his friends and different letters from dentists from the time. So here we go. The Revolutionary War. George hoped would soon be won, but another battle with his teeth had only just begun. George Washington rushed into town. The dentist heard his shout. Hold still, the dentist said, then gave a yank. A rotten tooth popped out. All that night, George tossed and moaned. Another tooth was sore. But at the dawn, he saddled up and galloped off to war. Oh, and there's Martha at his side. If you could see the pictures, you would see that his wife Martha is there. saying goodbye, wishing him luck. George reached New York as British ships invaded every port. Preparing for a fierce attack, his soldiers built a fort. Inside the fort, George rubbed his swollen gums with soothing oil of myrrh, until a sentinel cried out, "Here come the British, sir!" Charging on the field, George thought, "There's something in my mouth." He spat into his handkerchief. Another tooth came out. "This can't be happening," George gasped. "What if someone should see? If word got out I'm losing teeth, my men would laugh at me." While no one looked, he wrote a note his dentist would receive. "Please come," it said. "I'll need your help when I get home on leave." Back at home, George lost more teeth till he had only 10. "Oh, Martha, dear," George cried, "I fear I'll never eat again." Oh, yeah, it's really hard to eat without teeth. Did you ever think about that? Yeah, it's really hard because you can't chew up things and you can't eat crunchy things. Oh, my goodness, what are they going to do with poor George? Well, Martha knows what to do. And he had a really good cook, too, that helped him a lot, that knew just the right things to cook. His cook was actually named Hercules. We'll talk about Hercules later. Martha and Hercules fed him mush and pickled tripe. But when guests came to dine, George sneaked one of his favorite nuts. And then he had only 9. Ooh, that nut must have broke out a tooth. Oh my goodness, poor guy. Oh, here he is crossing the Delaware to go on that sneaky trip that he took with his soldiers, right? George crossed the icy Delaware with 9 teeth only in his mouth. In that cold and pitchy dark, 2 more teeth came out. Wow, he was losing teeth as he's fighting one of the most famous battles in American history. Wow. Snow fell on George at Valley Forge. His blue coat hung in tatters. By then, he'd only 7 teeth that couldn't even chatter. Yet bravely George led forth his men, coat and pigtail flying. While cannons boomed, he held his jaw and groaned, "I think I'm dying." The redcoats fled. George won the war. And when he returned alive, Martha checked for 7 teeth, but counted only 5. He hid the evening of her ball, ashamed his friends would see. That night, the dentist came again. George lost another 3. Wow, and in this picture, when they're having the ball to welcome him home, and he didn't even dare go out there and dance because of his teeth, his missing teeth. And he's hiding behind a plant in this picture, and he's watching everybody dance, and I can imagine what he's thinking. Can you imagine what he's thinking? Oh, I wish I was out there dancing with them. Oh. Poor George had 2 teeth in his mouth the day the votes came in. The people had a president, but one afraid to grin. He was president. And he was shy about smiling. Oh, George, don't you know nobody's perfect? It's okay. We love you anyway. A portrait artist came to George. He said, "I know the trick. I'll pad your mouth with cotton balls to puff your sunken lips." Now, remember, guys, there were no photographs back then. We didn't have cameras. And so the only way to capture George and the way he looked for future people to see was to paint a painting of him, right? So that's a portrait artist would come and paint a picture of you so that someday your grandchildren and great-grandchildren, great-great-great-grandchildren could see who you were. Well, George stood up to have a look at that portrait, and he fell back on his fanny.
"It doesn't look like me," he roared. "It looks like Martha's granny."
He yanked the cotton from his mouth, then gasped,
"What have I done?"
The cotton held a rotten tooth. Now George had only one. George still had that tooth the night. A knock came at the door.
"I've brought false teeth," the dentist called. "Teeth that won't get sore."
George put them in, but when he smiled, springs snapped against his tongue. Out flew those teeth. "Arg!" George shrieked.
"They've knocked out my last one." "Oh no," George moaned. "I'm toothless."
He kept his mouth shut tight. He couldn't sleep. He paced the floor and prayed with all his might.
"If only I had teeth," thought George.
He pondered what to do.
"Aha!" he cried. "All my old teeth might help make something new."
So his old teeth he was looking for. Ah, he's got an idea. He searched Mount Vernon's bedchambers, the pantry, parlors, halls. He searched through shelves, desk drawers, and the musty floor of every horse's stall. George found no teeth.
"Alas, they're gone."
A great sob shook his shoulders. Through tears, he peered in one last chest, leaped up and yelled, "My molars!" With plaster and those teeth he found, George poured a sample mold that showed the dentist how to make false teeth George hoped would hold. The dentist took strong hippo tusk and carved a set to size. Each tooth secured with screws of gold that lit up George's eyes. Can you guess the story's end? Those new teeth fit just right. And round the ballroom with his friends, George danced all through the night. Oh, and he's smiling, too. He's got a big smile on his face. He waited years to smile. And, you know, people wonder sometimes why he's never smiling in any of these portraits of him. Well, he was suffering. He was suffering with bad teeth, right? I mean, everyone has problems, even the president of the United States. And isn't that amazing to think that he was in battle and he was, you know, president, and he was preoccupied with the pain in his mouth. You know, I sometimes wonder if that helped him be brave, right? Because here he had this big pain in his mouth. It kind of made everything else seem maybe not as hard. You know, if it's already so hard already. And you have to realize that even when he had the false teeth, they were really difficult to hold in place. So when he had his false teeth in his mouth, he actually had to tense his jaw really tight and hold those teeth in place. And probably a lot of that tension was causing headaches, because one thing he did suffer with, even after he lost all of his teeth and didn't have any more toothaches, were headaches, which might have been partly caused from
tensing his mouth so tight. So feel your jaw right now. Are you tensing your jaw real tight? Try to relax it, right? Try to smile more. Come on, George, smile. We would have loved him anyway, wouldn't we, you guys? Even if he smiled with one tooth in his mouth, we would have loved him because it's what he did that mattered, right? Definitely. And I want to clear up any misunderstandings out there. George did not ever have wooden teeth, apparently, even though that seems to be a common story that people tell about him. Can't believe all the stories that you hear, right? And it turns out that George had several sets of false teeth made from different materials. Here are some of the materials they used back then to make false teeth. Hippopotamus, walrus, and elephant ivory, cow, elk, and other human teeth, you know, like his own human teeth that he rustled up and found. But he never had a set of wooden teeth. Wow, so that's amazing. And there's a whole list of all the different resources in this book that they used to find out the true story, right? I mean, what really happened to George? The truth is, he really did suffer with some bad toothaches, which made it hard for him to eat, hard for him to smile. And most of all, we know, guys, what was most difficult for him was that he didn't dance, right? When he was suffering like that, how could he dance? Because if he danced, he'd want to smile, right? And if he smiled, he would show the world that he didn't have all his teeth. Well, folks, you guys out there remember that none of us are perfect, but we are perfect just the way we are, just like you. Thanks for joining me.
Who can tell me a fact about George Washington?
He was president?
He was our first president. We owe him a lot. How about something else? Something, specific?
He had false teeth?
Well, that is true, but how about something not everybody knows?
He could not tell a lie.
Well, I know they used to say that, but he was human just like us, so that's probably not true.
Then tell us something we don't know about him.
All right, how about this? Did you know that George Washington loved to dance?
What?
Come on!
It's true. For all the serious things he did for this country, people who knew him would say he loved to go to parties and he loved to dance.
George Washington loved to dance?
George Washington loved to dance!
Born in February 1732, someday he'd be the one they choose to run the red, white, and blue. You've seen his face, cause it's placed on the green $1. George Washington, our number one first founding father. The colonies were in need of someone who could lead them. Washington was the one to bring that taste of freedom. With George on board, the USA had a fighting chance. A revolutionary man who also loved to dance.
He loved to dance.
George Washington loved to dance.
He loved to dance.
George Washington loved to dance.
He loved to dance.
George Washington loved to dance.
Gotta keep it moving with this dance revolution. Now the King of England sent his troops to bring us to a finish. As general, he saved the day by taking on the British. On a snowy, stormy Christmas day, he crossed the Delaware. He wasn't worried about a wig, that really was his hair.
This thing, a two-term presidency. Now let's set up the cabinetry.
With his wife Martha by his side, this country would advance. But one thing that we've learned today, he really loved to dance.
He loved to dance.
George Washington loved to dance.
He loved to dance.
George Washington loved to dance.
So, yeah. George Washington loved to dance.
He loved to dance.
Here with Americana Corner. Today, we are talking about George Washington's call for unity in his farewell address. After 8 years in office, President Washington was ready to step down. He believed the country was stable enough to continue to thrive without him. In his farewell address, President Washington emphasized the need for America to stay united. He stated, "Unity of government is a main pillar of your real independence, the support of your tranquility at home, your peace abroad, of your safety, of your prosperity, of that very liberty which you so highly prize." The president reminded his fellow citizens that the nation's different geographical regions were more similar than dissimilar. Washington wrote, "The name of American, which belongs to you, must always exalt the just pride of patriotism." He warned against the rise of partisanship and the danger it poses to America. Washington stated, "The alternate domination of one party over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, is a frightful despotism and kindles the animosity of one part against another." So why should George Washington's call for unity in his farewell address matter to us today? Washington understood that for our great nation to succeed, we must remain united. Although differences of opinion were to be expected, we could not allow these disagreements to split us apart. Moreover, these discussions over important matters should be informed and civil. That is pretty sound advice, don't you think? Until next time, may your love of country lead you.
That said, I did not, as I indicated to you earlier, speak much on the subject other than my primary concern. At the deepest root, my greatest drive was to come together in union. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, had we pressed the subject, that would not have happened. You know, this may not be understood widely, but what we signed here on September 17th, 1787 was completely provisional. The entire thing could have devolved. When we released it to the various states for ratification, if the ratification had not followed, if it did not become the law of the land, we would have become 13 individual countries again. For that is what we were a decade or more earlier when we met at that first Continental Congress in the Carpenters Guild Hall. I was a Virginia delegate. My country was Virginia. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We were meeting in the country of Pennsylvania. We had 13 different economies. We had 13 different currencies. We had 13 different armies at the time of the first Congress. Connecticut was at war with Pennsylvania and Virginia. 9 of the colonies had standing navies. We had different customs, different countries, different customs. I remember walking into the Carpenters Guild Hall and a gentleman of rather diminutive stature comes at me with his hand out and he says, "Colonel Washington, my name is John Adams from Massachusetts Bay." I look at his hand and I took a step back. I'm a Virginian, we don't take hands. He, being a New Englander, closes the distance with his hand out. Mm-hmm. I take another half a step back. It's a miracle that we even came together. And it all, in this room, had that subject been pressed, could have likely devolved.
It's a perfectly good plan. Why won't your anti-federalists just ratify this Constitution?
Well, if I sign this, well, I know you're gonna be the one telling me how to pray. And if I sign this, well, I know you'll take the right of free speech and press and petition away. And if I sign this, well, I know that you will not be able to leave my guns alone. And if I sign this, I know trust you, I just cannot trust you, won't quarter in my home. Cause I don't trust your Constitution, and I think it needs something more. Like a Bill of Rights to stop the government from trying to take more. If I sign this, yes, I know you're gonna search, you're gonna seize me up without probable cause. And if I sign this, you'll make me self-incriminate or be deprived without the due process of laws.
When I sign this,
well, I know that any trial I'm in will carry on for years. And if I sign, well, I know to say goodbye to any jury of my peers. Cause I don't trust your Constitution, and I think it needs something more. Like a Bill of Rights to stop the government from trying to take more.
Just sign it
till a Bill of Rights is added to the plan.
Just sign it.
Only then I'll approve the Constitution. Well, if I sign this, well, I know that you'll be cruel and unusual if you have to punish me. And if I sign this, well, I know you're gonna say you've listed all my liberties. And when I sign this, well, I know you're gonna think that unclaimed rights belong to you. So I won't sign this, and you better go create something that protects us from you. go create something that protects us from you. 'Cause I don't trust your constitution, and I think it needs something wrong. Like a Bill of Rights that stops the government from trying to take more.
Just sign it.
Won't sign it.
From across the sea, England's grip was strong. The king's abuse got harder every day. The colonists tried to air their grievances, but the king wouldn't give them their say. Our founding fathers dreamed of democracy, but the king just kept holding them down. If this country was to be the sweet land of liberty, they'd have to break away from the crown. The fight would be hard and the road would be long. From under England's thumb, we had to get out. So although they were scared of freedom, they declared, and that's what Independence Day is all about. Freedom should be celebrated, and that's just what we do. So come on down to Freedom Beach for our Independence Barbecue. Come on down to Freedom Beach for our Independence Barbecue. Well, the fighting had already started. England told us we belonged to them. So Jefferson penned the Declaration of Independence with the help of John Adams and Ben. The colonists suffered many losses, but there was no other way. When the redcoats came to town, our soldiers stood their ground. That's why we have our freedom today. At the end of the war, we were English no more. We would never be subjects again. The colonies elected a president. Our constitutional republic began. Freedom should be celebrated, and that's just what we do. So come on down to Freedom Beach for our Independence Barbecue. Come on down. Independence Barbecue. It's nearly 250 years later, and America still shines today. We still have a lot of work to do, but we've sure come a mighty long way. This is the land of opportunity. Some folks don't understand what that means. Our streets may not be gold, but you can still pave your road. You can work for your American dreams. We can never take our freedoms for granted or be fooled into giving them away. America stands for liberty, and that's why we celebrate this day. Freedom should be celebrated, and that's just what we do. So come on down to Freedom Beach for our Independence Barbecue. Freedom should be celebrated, and that's just what we do. So come on down to Freedom Beach for our Independence Barbecue. We got freedom for me and you at the Independence Barbecue.
Happy Independence Day, America!
Well, folks, every day is Independence Day here on Amy's Kids Show. Thank you for joining me today. We have come to the end of our celebration of George Washington. Yes, he was not perfect, but he was perfect for the time that he lived and for the things that he did. And we found out today how even
even having bad teeth turned out to maybe be just what he needed, right? To make him tough enough to take on all the challenges that he took on, right? He had to get people to come together. Even after they fought the British and won, boy, his fights were not over. He still had to bring people together to agree on a constitution. And wow, folks did not all agree on the constitution. In fact, people were worried that the constitution would give the government too many rights. So they wanted more rights for the people. And so part of the compromise that George helped make was the invention of the Bill of Rights, which gives us, the people, all sorts of really, really important rights, like the right of free speech, which I'm practicing here today on the radio. And you have the right to free speech, thanks to all the hard work that George and his whole crew of friends and associates did, right? To come together despite their differences. And you know, George was not perfect. In fact, he was a slave owner. He had a plantation. He had slaves, people that he owned, and you know how we feel about slaves today, right? Well, even back then, George was not real excited about the idea of slaves either. He struggled with that. He really, really wished that we could bring an end to it. And in fact, when he died, he put it in his will so that when he died, his slaves would be free. But that was not soon enough for probably his most important slave, who was named Hercules. Hercules was his cook, and Hercules would make all those nice mushy meals for him so he could eat and keep his strength up despite not having teeth. And Hercules was so important that George brought him to Philadelphia to help cook for him. But even though, you know, George was a cool guy, Hercules was not happy being a slave, even for our first president, and Hercules ran away on George Washington's 65th birthday. He ran away on February 22nd, 1797. He ran away from the president of the United States because he wanted to be free. So even George, right? Still had a lot to learn about freedom. Don't we all, guys? We're all here together. We are learning. We're not perfect, but we're the greatest, aren't we? You are, that's for sure. Thanks for joining me.
From across the sea, England's grip was strong. The king's abuse got harder every day. The colonists tried to air their grievances, but the king wouldn't give them their say. Our founding fathers dreamed of democracy, but the king just kept holding them down. If this country was to be the sweet land of liberty, they'd have to break away from the crown. The fight would be hard and the road would be long. From under England's thumb, we had to get out. So although they were scared of freedom, they declared, and that's what Independence Day is all about. Freedom should be celebrated, and that's just what we do. So come on down to Freedom Beach for our Independence Barbecue. Come on down to Freedom Beach for our Independence Barbecue. Well, the fighting had already started. England told us we belonged to them. So Jefferson penned the Declaration of Independence with the help of John.